Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 4. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. At this time, I'd like us to pay our undivided attention to Elder Simpson as he brings to us today's message.
Good day, church. And how are you today? Alive and well in God's house. Praising God. Still breathing. We're all still seeing. Still, we can hear and we can walk. Isn't that wonderful? We can come and sit with our brothers and sisters. Praising God's name. Happy Sabbath, saints. I want to thank your pastor to invite me here, and also Elder Longley, Elder Ford, and all of you members to allow me to come into your church to preach. And I'm glad to be here this morning. My family is at Capital City. We have they are having prayer and fasting going on over there. So my kids, they are a part of the program a little bit, and my son, he plays the violin. So I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be in God's house with God's people. Do you know that you are God's people? That he has chosen you to be his followers? Do you know that? Yes, you are a chosen generation. Not just that, you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. And so God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so we are glad to be in his presence. Today I wanted to talk to you about the Christian race that we have to run. As we near the end of our Christian race, as we near the end of the finishing line, as we near the end of time, how we are to run and not to give up. As the race gets harder and harder to run, we must keep running. We are going to talk about the things that can keep us back from running, and the one who is able to help us and to give us strength to run. Do you know that this Christian race is a marathon and not a sprint? That it's a lifelong endurance as we run this Christian race? Today we are going to talk about the Christian race and how we are to run this Christian race. As we look around us and we see what is going on, we often ask the question, how can we run? How can we still be a Christian when everyone is doing their own things? But you know, brothers and sisters, God's people are always few. Do you hear what I said? God's people are always few, and they are the faithful few. They are the faithful few. As we approach the end of time, more and more, we will see that Christians will get fewer and fewer, because it will be a remnant out of the remnant. It's hard to understand, but that's reality. The Bible says many will fall away. And so I entitled the sermon, Run, Run, Run. We've got to run. Let's I'd like you to turn to the book of Hebrews. We just read that verse, those verses. But I want us to, this is one of those, it is not a lengthy sermon, but, you know, anything can happen after we pray. Hebrews 1 and 2, just two verses we are going to read. We are not going to go into any other verses, just two. Before I read, I want to encourage each and every one of you today to hang in there. Don't let anyone steal your joy. Don't let anyone steal your papers. You're not too old to give to go astray or to backslide, but hang in there, my brothers and sisters. I'm encouraging you to hold on to Jesus. Don't let anyone steal your joy. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. We read the first part of verse 2, but we go from verse 1. What it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside, what everybody? Every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us what? Run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto who? The author and the finisher of our faith. Amongst the 66 books of scriptures, one of the most controversial book in the Bible is the book of Hebrews. Many people, many theologians and Bible scholars, they wrestle as to whether or not who wrote this book. To some of us, it seems as though it was Paul who wrote this book of Hebrews, since it reflects his pattern of writing. Paul always links the Christian experience to that of an ancient Greek race. In Hebrews 12, he is found likening the Christian experience to a race. Let us bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for allowing us to go into it. We are asking you, Lord, to have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon me, Lord, as I present your word. Wash me and cleanse me. There is nothing in me, Lord, but I need your cleansing, your anointing, and your touch. Bless your word as I present it to your people. May we all abide in your word and accept your word is my prayer in your precious name. In Hebrews 12, he is found likening the Christian experience to a race. In 1 Corinthians 9, he counsels the Corinthians to run the race that they might obtain a crown. In Philippians 3, he admonishes the Philippians to reach for those things which are before them, to press towards the mark of high calling. And here again in Hebrews 12, he tells the Hebrews to run. Run with patience the race that is set before them. Paul imagines Christians to be an athlete in the ancient Greek Olympic, making his final preparation to run a race in the stadium. As the athlete prepares to take off, he glances momentarily towards the masses of clouds that are around him. As he gets down on the starting line, he looks about him and he sees the masses of cloud of witnesses surrounding him like a cloud. Reflecting on this vantage point, Paul counsels the Hebrews in verse 1, saying, wherefore, seeing that we also are compassed about, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Our witnesses has gone on before us. These are the unnumbered witnesses of faith that he mentioned in Hebrews 11. They are Abel, who by faith offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Our witnesses are Enoch, who walked with God, and Noah, and Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and Rahab, and Samson, and Simon, and Joshua, and Caleb. These are our witnesses. Our witnesses have gone on before us. These are the cloud of witnesses, each of whom, despite their handicap, despite their sinfulness, despite their struggles, despite their weaknesses, despite their difficulties, they all finish the race. And now they are awaiting that day when they shall receive a crown of life, not a corruptible crown, but an of silver and gold, but an incorruptible one, one that was not made with the hands of man, but who is the maker and builder is God. Paul says, seeing that we have such great clouds of witnesses, he says, let us lay aside every weight. Listen to me, saints. He says, let us lay aside every weight. Seeing that so many witnesses has gone on before us, seeing that so many people preceded us, let us lay aside, Paul says, every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. When running a race, have you ever run a race before? When running a race, the last thing the runner leaves is weight. Weight slows you down. Weight gets in your way. Weight can cause you to lose the race. In other words, you don't need weight on you when you're running a race. That's why Paul says we have got to lay aside every weight. When the ancient Greek runners approached the starting line, he was told by the starter to take off his sandals, take off his robe, take off his clothes, anything else he possibly thought would hinder him from finishing the race. He was told to lay them aside. Lay aside all the weights. Lay them aside. Anything that will hinder him, anything that would keep him back from running the race, he was told to lay them aside. Anything that will block his view, he was told to lay them aside. Anything that would separate him from finishing the race, they were told to take them off and to lay them aside. You have watched the Olympics. You have seen runners come to the starting line, and they will take off their jacket suit and lay them aside. As we run this Christian race, we too are told to rid ourselves of any and everything that may keep us back from finishing the race. We are in a race, brothers and sisters. We are in a Christian race. To us as Christians, weight could be anything. Yes, weight could be anything. Anything that would keep us back from running could be considered as weight. And some of the most popular weights in some church, not this church, are backbiting. Some of the most popular weights in some church, not this church, are jealousy. Some of the most popular weights in some church are hypocrisy. Some of the most popular weights are murmuring. You know, there are some folks love to murmur. They murmur and they murmur. All they do is murmur. You know, some folks in the church, preacher can't do nothing right. Some folks, they don't support any program in the church. You talk about in gathering, they murmur. Investment, they would murmur. Evangelism, they would murmur. Sabbath school, they murmur. New believers coming into the church, they murmur. Preacher preaches too long, they would murmur. Everything that goes on, murmur. They are used to murmuring. And it's become a part of their lives. And that's the weight we are told to lay aside. And those are the individuals that don't contribute anything to the church. But all they do is murmur. All they do is block the way. All they do is talk and talk and still talk. Some of the most popular weights is not being for real. People are not being for real. It's having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But Paul says we have got to lay aside every weight. That weight, Paul says. But not only do we have to lay aside every weight, but we have got to rid ourselves of the sin. Now Paul says in Hebrews 12, as we have read it, let us lay aside every weight, and he says, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Paul says, the sin, that which so easily besets us. Let me slow down here a little bit. Paul introduces another category here. He says, we have got to lay aside every weight. Oh, that's all right. But then he says, we have got to lay aside sin. Now that's important. Paul didn't say that we've got to lay aside sins, S-I-N-S. But Paul says we have got to lay aside sin, S-I-N. You see, everybody, or most people rather, has a special sin. They got a special sin. But that's that one sin that many are struggling with. That one sin only you and I know about. That one sin that can block our path way more than anything else in this world. Now, nobody knows your particular sin or your particular struggle. Nobody knows your weakness. Nobody knows your particular sin. But I know this much. Paul says we've got to give it up. We have got to lay aside sin. Ellen White calls it a darling sin. It is a sin that a preacher can preach from now until Sunday morning. You wouldn't give it up, and I wouldn't give it up. It's a sin. He says sin. I wonder why Paul says that. Paul says sin. You just wouldn't give it up, Paul says. Because that sin has become a part of our lives. Because he says we love it so much that we wouldn't give it up. The Epistle Paul says, in order for us to run, or before we're ready to run, we must lay aside that particular sin. First, we have got to lay aside every weight. We have got to lay aside all of our weaknesses. We have got to lay aside our deficiencies, all of the things that stop us from communicating with God. And then, when we have got that done, we have got to check ourselves out and lay aside that particular sin. That one sin that we pray about, but get up off our knees and do it anyway. Because we haven't made up in our mind to give up that sin. Paul says we have got to lay aside that particular sin. As the ancient runner lays aside his garments, so we must lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, after we have got all of this done, after we have laid aside every weight, after we have laid aside the sin which doth so easily beset us, Paul says that now we are ready to run. Now we are ready to run the race that is set before us. Now we are ready to run, he says. He says, now we are ready to run the race with patience. Paul says, after we've got all of that done, he says, now we are ready to run the race with patience. Listen to me now. You know, I read this and I laugh to myself and I smile and I say, how in the world can you run a race with patience? Paul says, after we lay aside every weight, every sin, and then he says, now you're ready to run the race with patience. That's what he says in verse 1. And let us run the race with patience, the race that is set before us. Paul says, now we are ready to run with patience. Now I know when you run, you're running. I've never seen any runner, or I've never run with patience in a race. You don't run a race with patience. If you're in the Olympics, you don't run a race with patience. You run for your life, you run to win the race. But Paul says, we have got to run this race, this Christian race, with patience. It's a big difference. The worldly race is different from the Christian race. It is important to know, to understand what Paul means. He means we must run this race with steadfastness. We must run this race with perseverance. We must run this race with diligence. We must run this race with endurance. For the Bible says, he that endures to the end, the same might be saved. The race is not for the swift, but it's for those that can endure to the end. The Christian race is a race for patience. Because whilst running this race, you will have to go through some tough times, some uphills, some downhill, some valleys, and some difficult times in this race, when folks will be saying all kinds of things about you, when they will stop you from running and discourage you, you gotta still run. For this race, ladies and gentlemen, is not for the swift, but for those that can endure to the end. Some ancient runners started to run this race, but never finish. Some get tired and they drop off by the wayside. But no, my brothers and sisters, this Christian race is too important for us to fall by the wayside. It is important for us to run and not to give up. We have come too long. We have been too long in this race. We are nearing the finishing line. We've got to keep running. It is a lifelong experience. It is a race that calls for patience. It is a race that calls for perseverance. And let me explain that to you. Patience is needed to run this race. Not patience for somebody else. Listen to me now. You don't need patience for somebody else. Patience is needed for yourself, not for somebody else. For each man in this Christian race has his own lane in which he or she has to run or are running in. Each man is competing against himself. Well, let me tell you something, saints. You got to stay in your own lane. Don't try to come over into somebody else's lane, trying to figure out why they're running so slow. You know, some people, even while they are running, if you are going too fast, they try to slow you down. Some people try to pull you back simply because you are getting ahead of them. They want to get ahead of you, so they try to slow you down. But I'm encouraging you, brothers and sisters, to run. But ladies and gentlemen, you are not going to reach the finishing line before I do. I said, you are not going to reach the finishing line before I do. Do you get that? Everybody is going to reach the finishing line at the same time, those who've got to reach. In this Christian race that we are running, everybody is going to reach the finishing line at the same time. Everybody is going to reach to Jesus when he comes at the same time. That's the end of the race when we run. So don't think that you're going to reach before I do. Or I would not reach it before any one of you. We are going to reach the finishing line the same time. So don't be concerned about those ahead of you. Don't be concerned about those that seem to be behind you. Be concerned about yourself in this race and stay in your own lane. You've got an own lane to stay in. Some people, they start running, and for 40 years they have been running, and they have never moved an inch. For 50 years they have been running and never moved an inch. What I'm saying is that some people have been coming to church for so long, they have done nothing but just coming. They have not encouraged anyone. They have not reached out to anyone. They are just running. They are just right there looking at those people who are going by and saying to them, watch how you're running now. You better slow down. Be careful now. They are the ones who have been for a long time. But thank God for the old saints who are praying for those who are running and who are praying for themselves, because they have been in the race and they know that the race is not easy. They know that the race calls for endurance. The race calls for diligence. We have got to run, brothers and sisters. My counsel to you today is to keep on running. Let everyone run their own race. Let everyone be concerned about their own race. For you see, church, self is our only competitor. And so we must continue to run. We must, somebody. Somebody asked the question, how can we run? How can we lay aside every race? Okay, my brother, I know you're saying we must do this, but tell me, preacher, how can I do it? I know now I've got to lay aside every weight, and I believe that I have to lay aside every sin, but tell me, how can I do it? I don't mind doing it, but tell me, how can I do it? How can I lay aside the sin that so easily beset us? How can I do it? How can I stop the friends I'm keeping? How can I stop the things I'm doing? How can I stop going the place I'm going? How can I do it? How can I lay aside every weight? How can I lay aside the sin that doth so easily beset me? How can I be a Christian? How can I do it? Verse 2 gives us the answer. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. By looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, we can do it. You see, church, Jesus is the man at the finishing line. And what you've got to do is to keep your eyes on the man at the finishing line. Once you keep your eyes on the man at the finishing line, you run towards the man at the finishing line, you'll finish all right. You'll finish safe. You'll finish with Jesus at your side. Looking to Jesus means to direct your attention upon him. Looking to Jesus means to observe his lifestyle. Looking to Jesus means to keep your eyes of faith fixed on him. We must look to Jesus. We must look to Jesus, for by beholding him, we must become changed. We must look to Jesus. As you run this Christian race, keep on looking to Jesus. Don't look behind you. Don't look. If you look to Jesus, you'll be able to sing like the old slave. Soon I'll be done with the troubles of this world. Going home to meet our Lord and our Savior. Our problem is we don't look to Jesus. We look to other people. We say to other people, we say that we're the only ones who are doing all the work. We're the only ones who are running. And I'm tired. But look to Jesus. He'll give you strength. Look to Jesus. He will hold your hands. And let me tell you all to keep on looking to Jesus. And don't let anyone discourage you. Some people, they stop off by the wayside. They left the church because somebody stepped on their toes and didn't say, excuse me. Let me tell you something, church. You've got to look to Jesus. He is the author. He is the originator. Jesus is the source of all of our Christian power. It is he who has called us out of darkness into his glorious light. He is the one. It is he who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It is he who is able to keep us from falling. He it is that preserves our life and to present us to his Father. And he receives us as sons and daughter of the Most High. It is he who justifies and sanctifies and fills us with the Holy Spirit. He is the author. He is the finisher. He is the deliverer. He is the protector. He is the originator of our faith. And he is able to keep us until the end. I want to be with Jesus. I want to stay close to Jesus. I want to keep running with Jesus. And we have got to look to keep our eyes on him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he is the one who allows us to grow in grace. We can lay aside every weight and sin through him. We can only do it through Jesus Christ. For he has promised to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the throne with exceeding joy. Somebody ought to say amen. We have got to look to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Church, I want you to know that Jesus can handle any problem you and I may have. Jesus is able to deal with any problem you and I may have in this life. He's able. He can do it. Jesus is the way maker. Jesus is the problem solver. Jesus is the mind fixer. Jesus is the wheel in the middle of a wheel. Jesus is the anchor in the time of storm. He is the rock in the weary land. He is the anchor in the time of storm. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the source of our strength. He is able to do beyond more than what we can imagine or think. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. He's able. But no, you are saying today, my brothers, my brother, how can we run this life when my life is in a mess? How can we run this race when my marriage is in a mess? How can I run this race when my finance is falling apart? How can we run this race when our relationship is in a mess? How can we do it? How can we run? How can I run when everything is falling apart? How can I run when everything is in a mess? How can I do it? The Bible tells us we can do it by looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. As we run this Christian race, a good start is important as a good finish. It makes no sense we start off good and then we end off on the other side. But as we start this Christian race, as we start off right, let us finish right. Let us finish looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't let anything block you from running. Don't let the economy destroy your faith. Don't let the things of this world that go strangely dim keep you back from running. Keep on running, my brothers and sisters. We have come too far. We are near at the finishing line. We are almost there. We're almost there, hanging there. Don't let anyone discourage you, but keep on running. You have got to run. Even if you're tired, you've got to run. Even if you're discouraged, you've got to run. Even if you don't feel like it, you've got to run this Christian race. Even if folks talk about you, you've got to run. Even if everything or everyone else has given up, you've got to run, church. You've got to run. Run on, church. Run on. Run, run, run. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Keep on running. My encouragement to you, my brothers and sisters, we've got to keep on running. Keep on running. This is not a time for us to give up. This is not a time for us to fall by the wayside. But my encouragement is for us to keep on running. Keep on looking unto Jesus. For when he comes back, he will give you a crown. You will get your reward. You will get what you deserve, and that's eternal life. He has gone to prepare a place for you. My brothers and sisters, if he says that he is gone, he'll come again and receive you unto himself. Keep on running. Keep on running. He's coming. And his coming is near. Nearer than we think. As we look around and we see what is going on and around the world, we can see that mankind is running from place to place. They're running the wrong place instead of running to Jesus, who is the answer to all of the questions that they are outside there. They're looking for Obama to fix the economy, looking for the government. My news to you today, there is not enough money in Congress to help us in this race or to help us in this world. It's not enough money. I wish if I can tell you that the world is going to get better, but it's going to get worse before it gets better, before Christ come and put his stamp. I want to keep on running. How about you? I want to be faithful to God. How about you? I want to put away that particular sin that Paul tells us to put aside. I encourage you to keep on praying one for the other. Keep on praying for me. If you think that I'm a perfect person, think again. I need Jesus every day. I fall upon my knees and beg him to have mercy upon me every day, because I am more disobedient than how he expects me to be obedient. I try to be obedient, but with my help, I can't. I have to look to him for strength, because he is the author. He is my strength. He is my courage. Keep on running. We can only lay aside every weight. We can only lay aside every sin. We can only run this race with patience through Jesus Christ. Without him, I can do nothing. We must look to him. And my encouragement to you, my brothers and sisters, we see and we know that the Bible says, in the last days, perilous time will come. In Revelation, it tells us that the money of this world will disappear in 1 hour. It tells us that in Galatians or Ephesians, that men will cry and they will howl for their riches. And many people have stored up their money in the wrong place, their wealth in the wrong place. Let us store our wealth in heaven. He's coming back. We must lay our treasure in heaven, not on earth. He's coming back for you. You are his treasure. You are his jewels. My prayer and my aim is that we all be faithful when he comes. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we thank you once again for allowing us to hear your word. Lord, your word is plain and clear. Lord, we are weak, but you are strong. We come asking you, Lord, recognizing our weaknesses, our sinfulness, and Lord, even the particular sin that we have in our lives, that we are hiding from many people, but Lord, you alone know it. We can hide nothing from you. We are asking you, Lord, to search our hearts and try us. And Lord, rid our lives. Help us to put away that sin, that particular sin, that darling sin that we love. Help us to give it up, Lord, as we surrender our lives to you. It's my prayer, Lord, that you save each and every one of us. For we know that one day you will come. And, oh God, we want to be a part of your kingdom. We want, Lord, to climb on higher heights. Lord, lift us up a little bit higher. Lord, take the burden from us. Take the pain. You know, Lord, the heartaches. You know the pain. You know the financial struggles. You know the relationship that we have that is a struggle. You know our marriage, Lord. You know every family, every member. Lord, the enemy is attacking our homes and our church. We are praying, Lord, that you help us, that we would follow you. Help us, Lord, not to follow anyone else, but to follow you only. And Lord, it's my prayer and my hope and my desire that each and every one of us, when you come, we'll be singing, we'll be rejoicing, because you are our Lord. You came to seek and to save us. We want to go home with you. Help us to be ready and to stay ready is my prayer, is our prayer in your precious name. Amen.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand, by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to leave above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has got the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Lord, dismiss us with your blessings. Help us, Lord, that we remember this is your Sabbath day. Help us continue to keep it holy.
Amen.
Watch over us, Lord, as we leave this place. Help us to leave your presence. Help us, Lord, to stand up for you and to do what is right. Take us home safely. Watch over us. Protect us from harm and danger. And bless us, we pray, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Dismiss us, Lord, with blessing we pray, as from thy worship we go our ways. Guide in life's conflicts all through the day, save in thy kingdom, thine be the